I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. What it do, Dylan?
What up?
That's how the kids talk, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
We've been around them enough lately.
Well, yeah.
They're starting to pick up on...
I've been covering high school athletes for the better part, for most of my 20-plus years as a sports writer, so I guess sometimes, and I have teenagers,
yeah.
Just kind of pick up the vernacular, and of course, it sounds cooler when we say it.
Yeah, because we're older, a little more seasoned.
Right, sure. Anyway, hey. Hey, we had snow the other day. That was fun.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I'm not much of a snow fan. It's just like, it looks cool in the moment, but when it melts, it just leaves a big mess.
And that's true.
I think some of our soccer teams and stuff figured that out this week, too.
Yeah, like, had some games get canceled Monday and Tuesday even because of it. But anyway, hey, welcome in to this program. It's Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. We come to you every Wednesday. Obviously, you have found us, but there are many ways to find us. Of course, we're in iTunes or any of your podcast apps, also online at preprally.djournal.com. And please be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps for updates on all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. And we've got a good program here, Dylan. We've still got games going on. You know, we've still got quarantines happening. We'll have some COVID updates later, but we've got some good basketball and soccer to talk about for the next few minutes. Of course, we'll have Athletes of the Week later on as well. Let's jump into the basketball rewind, talk about a few games from this past week that we went out and saw and our impressions on those. Let's start with a couple of these county tournaments we had. We had a bunch of them last week. You were at the Lee County tournament for the finals on Saturday. Saltillo's boys got the win over Shannon. Remind me of the score. I don't have that in front of me. Yes, I do. It was 41-36.
Yeah.
Braxton Gibbs had a good game.
Yeah, of course. I think you would be remiss mentioning Saltillo boys basketball this year, not mentioning the name Braxton Gibbs. He's kind of the heart and soul and who they kind of lean on. And they obviously did that again. It's Saltillo's seventh straight Lee County tournament title, which I know I didn't know that until I got there, and there was Coach Lundell was screaming at the refs early in the first quarter, and he said, "This is the Lee County tournament. This is big boy basketball." And so Saltillo, obviously, they take it very, very serious, and that's why they've won seven in a row, I guess. But yeah, Braxton Gibbs scored nine of his game high 18 points there in the fourth quarter, kind of really close game throughout, and Saltillo got up nine there early in the they got up nine early in the fourth quarter, and it felt like it might get away from Shannon, and Shannon was right back, and Devin Hodges hit a three there with a minute 32 left and gave Shannon a lead, and sure enough, Braxton Gibbs comes down right on the other end, hits a three, and that ended up being the go-ahead basket in the final, and then, you know, Saltillo just kind of kept it from there. He's just it was more than just a one-off performance. I mean, the night before against Nettleton, I think Nettleton probably came in as the favorite this year probably to win that tournament.
Yeah, maybe so.
And he put up 31 against Nettleton the night before. So he's obviously having a really, really, really tremendous senior year and putting it all together.
Right, yeah, now, and Saltillo, you know, maybe they're hitting a bit of a stride. They beat Tisch County. It was a close one, closer than I expected on Tuesday, but still 9-5 overall now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way Gibbs is playing, maybe they're starting to find a little rhythm here.
And that's what Craig Lauderdale was saying to me after the game. He says he feels like his team's kind of finally fitting their roles. He's, you know, there's guys, you know, they were such a talented team last year with TJ Hanna and like, you know, probably a little more talented than what they are this year, because with Gibbs there as a junior last year, but they're all kind of stepping into new roles, and he's like, and it's starting to work out now. They're starting to piece together wins, and when you got Gibbs on your team, you've got a chance every night. So.
Most definitely, a team that has been rolling pretty much all season. New Sites boys, they won the Prentice County tournament by beating Boonville 61-55 at Northeast Mississippi Community College on Saturday. And they've won once more since then on Tuesday. So I think they're 17-1 now. And New Sight has been just about unstoppable. And tell you what, they were putting it to Boonville there for about two and a half, three quarters. They were up by 24 points in the third quarter. And then Boonville suddenly found some life, found some offense. Josh Duke started hitting some threes. Trey McKinney started getting to the bucket. And they cut that lead down. I mean, they cut it way down to, I think it got as close as 5 points there late in the game. Excuse me, 4 points with 32 seconds left. But Colton Fitzsimmons, that point guard that I imagine people have to hate playing against because he is, as I described him in the story, pesky.
Yeah,
that's kind of his style.
That is the perfect word for him.
But he had a bunch of free throws down the stretch, you know, to kind of seal it. And Ethan Eaton had the big game for New Site. Now, he actually fouled out with a minute 15, excuse me, with a minute 42 left in the game. They were up by 9. But still had a great game. One of the big reasons they won that game, he had 25 points, 7 steals, 5 rebounds. He was getting it done on both ends of the floor. He just has a knack for getting to that ball and poking it away and coming up with steals and transition buckets.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody in our area that plays harder for 32 minutes than him.
I don't think so either.
He didn't get to play 32 minutes because he got fouled out. But
right.
But for 32 minutes, he is just an energizer bunny that does not stop. So.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, the big key to getting out to that early lead was not only Eaton, but I mentioned Fitzsimmons. He was one reason that Boonville got in some early foul trouble. Caleb Guy, who was trying to guard Fitzsimmons, was one of those who had to sit early with a couple of fouls. And also McKinney had gotten some foul trouble. And, you know, Fitzsimmons is one of those guys, he can score a little bit. He'll hit the occasional three-pointer, but his main deal is ball handling.
Distributing the ball.
Yeah, and then basically just annoying the heck out of the opposition, yeah. Which, again, he's good at. McKinney ended up with 18 points for Boonville. Josh Dukes had 12, as did Alec Nunley. Nunley, a really good three-point shooter, got all his points on threes. Dukes was really quiet the first half. You know, he's a guy that can light it up at a moment's notice, and he got hot. There in the third and fourth quarter. So Newsite holds on for the win 61-55, just continuing to roll along there. It's a 2A team to watch, obviously.
No, very much so, very much so.
And then last night, Tuesday night, I was at New Albany. They hosted Corinth in a Division 1-4A game. Corinth was 3-0 in division coming in. New Albany was 1-2. Corinth had defeated New Albany in the first meeting back on December 17th by, I think, 9 points. I'll tell you what, New Albany, when they are on and the shots are falling, they are as good as any team in the division probably. And, they, yeah. I mean, they showed it last night. They got the win. I would call that an upset win. Corinth entered the game ranked 8th by the Daily Journal. It was a 60-55 final. It was tight pretty much the whole way, except the Corinth was leading most of the way until late in the third quarter. And then finally, New Albany pulled ahead 35-34. They had tied the game with the help of Michael Smith. He scored 6 straight points to make it to go from 34-28 to 34-34, and he ended up with a really nice game. And I mean, most of his points are on jump shots. I mean, he's 6'5", but most of his points were on jump shots. And he's got a really nice, smooth stroke as well, a very smooth athlete. And but you know, he can get to the rim if he needs to, but he didn't really need to so much. And you know, this is a New Albany team that's got some really good length. You got him, you got Octavian High, you got this kid Trey Berry, who didn't play much the first time they met, but he did a really good job, especially defensively. I had him with 3 blocks and 5 rebounds, and he had 6 points as well off the bench. You know, again, this is a team that when shots are falling, I mean, they were as athletic and skilled as most teams they'll face in 4A, I think.
Yeah. They look the part when they take the floor. And, like, I know this isn't in our story and wasn't a part of the Corinth game, but last Saturday they did a little surprise trip over to Pontotoc and played Pontotoc on Saturday and took Pontotoc, the number one Pontotoc, to overtime.
Yeah, they did.
So, and then they ended up losing by, like, 8 or 9 or 10 or something in overtime. And it got away from them there. But, you know, they played, you know, with the best team in our area, you know, for 4 quarters and a little more. So
yeah,
they're obviously starting to find their stride and get some things. Like you said, like, you know, they can compete with anybody in 4A if they're going to play.
This is a team that could really ruin someone's day come playoff time. Yeah,
absolutely.
Michael Smith ended up with 19 points, 5 rebounds. He shot 9 of 17 from the floor. I mentioned Artavian High. He had 8 points, 9 rebounds. And just got good play from all over. Mason Simmons at one point, the point guard, he went down with an ankle injury after hitting a shot. I want to say that was – I have to check my notes on that. But he was out for a while. But he came back in the fourth quarter to start the fourth quarter. And then he made a steal early on. made a big bucket and just played really well overall. So that was big for him to come back. And then Kevin Hernandez, I'm not sure he even played in the first half, but he knocked down a huge pair of three-point shots there in the fourth quarter to help New Albany. So, I mean, it was a full team effort for sure for the Bulldogs. So that's a big win for them to draw even at 2-2 in division play. Let's look ahead to some games this coming weekend. We got another county tournament. One more Union County tournament starts on Thursday, and they're going to do like some of these others did last week. They're going to play at the higher seed. I know Tippett County did that. The higher seed will host, so it's not going to be all at one central location. But starting Thursday, you've got, let me see here, we got East Union at New Albany Girls, Myrtle at West Union Girls, East Union at West Union Boys. That Myrtle-West Union Girls game looked like it might be a really fun matchup. You know, it might still be, but Myrtle is going to be without Kinsley Gordon, who's averaging almost 25 points a game. She suffered a concussion when Myrtle played West Union back on the 4th, and she is not going to be back till probably next week. And so they're going to have to play without their best scorer, best and one of the best all-around players in the area. And they've got a couple of two or three reserves that are out as well, and some other girls that just came back. So it's going to be real tough to go against Annie Orman and that group tomorrow night. And Myrtle is the defending champ on the girls' side in that the Union County tournament. I would expect you'll see Ingomar boys
and
well,
New Albany boys,
and New Albany boys going at it. That'll be
Saturday,
fun.
Saturday, that'll be probably a pretty good one.
Probably will. And on the girls' side, I mean, Ingomar's girls have been pretty good, but West Union, man, don't overlook
them. I wouldn't
count
them out.
Certainly would not. So let's see what else we got. We got Alcorn Central at Boonville on Friday. Should be a good boys game. Alcorn Central's having a pretty good year, 10-6. Yeah. They only lost to Amory by 1 point Tuesday night, 63-62. And, of course, Boonville, of course, coming off that loss to Newside on Saturday, they came back and beat Kossuth pretty handily on Tuesday. They're a number 6 ranked team, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got all the pieces to be really good going into the playoffs. Alcorn Central has some guys that can shoot, and if those three-pointers are falling, they're going to give you some trouble.
Right. Well, that's beat Boonville the first time. So
that's right, they did.
Central upset, you know, that was something that kind of caught our eye with them that week. I think Coach Michael Smith there from Boonville was in quarantine that week, but I don't know how much it mattered. I think, you know, Central – every gym I go and I walked into the Lee County tournament last Saturday, you've got Grant Gardner, who's in the same division with Nettleton and Alcorn Central. And he's like, man, he said, Alcorn Central is, you know, he started talking about Alcorn Central and how much improved they are, how much better they are. And after the first game of the year, I had coaches texting me saying, hey, Alcorn Central may be one of the most improved boys teams in the area.
Like, yeah, got to be.
They've flipped the script a little bit. So.
Yeah, first-year coach Josh Harrison doing a heck of a job there. I was texting Amory coach Brian Pearson after the game last night when they won by a point. And, you know, we kind of knew this, but he says they've got four guys that can get really hot. And he said they were just glad to survive.
Yeah.
Because it was not a good matchup for them.
Nettleton ended up escaping with a win, but it wasn't by much.
No.
So Central's giving everybody in that division a run. And like I said, they already beat Boonville once. And if they can pick up a second win on Friday, that bodes well for them moving into the division tournament and trying to get the right seeding, because that division's pretty competitive.
Yeah, it is. That game will be at Boonville Friday night. Then a big division game in 1A, Biggersville and Pine Grove. That's by the way, I'm going to be at that Alcorn-Boonville game. You're going to be at Biggersville, Pine Grove, and that's a good one, especially now that Carson Rowland is back in a groove. Pine Grove is starting to make some noise.
Right. They definitely missed him when he was out, but now that he's back, it kind of he's just one of the better players in the area, so it gives them just a much-needed boost that they have. But they've had other guys that stepped up, like Keaton Wilkerson and Jack Hudson, and they've got other pieces, but this Biggersville team has reloaded. I know they lost Hunter Stacey. They lost some guys from that team last year, but you got pickup Cam Smith and Brooks Brand's playing better. Devin Leatherwood's stepping up in a new role. So Biggersville's got and they barely lost to Corinth in their Alcorn County tournament last week too. So they got some guys, but Biggersville won this matchup both times last year in the regular season. Got to division tournament at Boonville, championship game. Pine Grove finally got them, snuck up on them, and took that one seed into the playoffs. So I expect that'll be a really close game, and it'll probably come down to the final couple minutes there to decide the winner. And who, it's just the first meeting between the two, so it's a long way to go.
Yeah, exactly. Soccer. Let's do some soccer real quick. You got to go see some soccer last night, Dylan. Look at you.
It was perfect weather for it, too.
Especially if you're in the press box. Lewisburg at Tupelo. You actually had two tight games. Tupelo ended up winning both. We were you were writing mainly about the boys, and
right.
they got the win, 1-0. Excuse me, 1-0. That puts them in the driver's seat in the division race, doesn't it?
Yeah. But for both of them, it kind of for both Tupelo teams, it kind of sets them right there. You know, to go ahead and win the everything's out in front of them, I guess, for the Division One 6A title. With the boys, it was I was really impressed with how they maintained possession of the ball. They kept it. I was joking with the PA guy out there. And I said I almost got a crick in my neck because I've been watching this one side of the field the whole time because the ball never went past midfield to the Lewisburg never threatened the goal. Only had three shots on goal on the entire night. One of them was saved by goalkeeper Ethan Robbins. And so Tupelo just maintained it, and they had like a million corners and a million throw-ins.
Kind of surprised they didn't score more.
And that's the thing is that, you know, they had their chances, but the goalkeeper for Lewisburg, Jason Hoffman, he was really good. He had somewhere near, I think he had like 12 saves last night is what I had him
at.
So, I mean, he was unreal. He was very good, very athletic. But, yeah, they Tupelo capitalized on one of those throw-ins. Reed Connolly. The kid should like try out for quarterback at Tupelo because the kid has a cannon. Like, I mean, I know you have to throw it two handed over your head and stuff, and there's certain rules of how you have to throw it in. But he just like bullets the ball from the sideline and can put it almost like right in the net. And all the kid's got to do is either head it in or just kick it in, tap it in, whatever. And that's kind of how it worked out. He threw it right to Davin Sanders in the 51st minute, and they went up 1-0. And like I said, even after they scored, Tupelo just kind of kept possession on their side and played away, and it worked out. So they got Olive Branch Thursday and two matches with DeSoto Central next week, and they'll be favored in all three of those. And if they pull it out, they'll be the one seed, which is huge because I think the number two seed in that region would have to go to Madison Central
Yikes.
In the first round, and I don't think nobody wants to do that. So I think they want to have the home game at Tupelo.
Definitely. COVID update time. COVID. Okay. Faulkner's girls, they went into quarantine last week. I'm told they will be out by Saturday. They were supposed to play Blue Mountain that day. So I'm told they'll be able to play that. I believe that's a division game, yeah?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Region 1.
Thrasher's boys and girls are in quarantine until Friday. They do have a game that night, boys and girls both, so they're supposed to be out. Last I heard, they're going to try to play Friday. So that's all I know at the moment.
I believe they play Blue Mountain Friday, right? So Blue Mountain's catching both teams.
That does sound right.
I think they're catching both teams off their quarantines.
Oh, and also Horn Lake has gone into quarantine. So Oxford was supposed to play them, I think, tomorrow. So they had to postpone that game till February the 4th because of Horn Lake going into quarantine. Anyway, it's not going anywhere. Shout out this week goes to five of our area players selected to play in the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star Basketball Games. On the girls' side, we've got Quay Bailey of Calhoun City, Hannah Campbell of New Site, and Macy Walker of Belmont. On the boys' side, Chase Rose of Oxford and Colty Young of Starkville. They dropped those rosters, I want to say it was last Thursday or so that those came out. So those are all definitely worthy to play in that game. So there you go. Congrats. Let's close it out with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Female Athlete of the Week, Sammy Joe Doyle. That's a fun name to say.
Mm-hmm.
Old Sammy Joe. Sammy Joe Doyle.
That sounds like a good soccer name. Sounds like you could be good at soccer.
Yeah. Or farming.
Yeah.
Sammy Joe. I don't know. She's a sophomore for the New Albany soccer team. She had 4 goals and 2 assists in a 6-0 win over Ripley on Friday. And then on Tuesday, 2 goals, 2 assists in a 7-1 win against Tishomingo County. So, Sammy Joe Doyle, good job. Male Athlete of the Week, we mentioned him earlier, Braxton Gibbs, the senior for Saltillo. He had 31 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and a 53-43 win over Nettleton on Friday in the Lee County tournament. And then the next day in the final, he had 18 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and that 51-46 win over Shannon. And then on Tuesday against Tisch County, he had 30 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. 72-67, the final there. The Tigers win. So congrats to Braxton and Sammy Joe. And that's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. We come to you every Wednesday. Find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. And Dylan's on Twitter at DylanBarnesDJ. And we will be back next week. Until then. behave yourselves.